This is the Taco Boat Wellness Podcast with your host, your coach, your Everside Wellness Practitioner, Courtney Handelin. I love tacos and a good play on words as much as the next person. Okay, maybe a little bit more than the next person. But this podcast is about more than just that. Just like each taco can have a variety of toppings, so too is each person's path to wellness. Both tacos and wellness are customizable for each individual. And with each season, it may look a little bit different, and that's totally okay. In this podcast, you'll gain insight from providers here at our Waukesha Clinic and all across Everside Health. We'll even sprinkle in a few local community experts, all to tap into the many areas or toppings of wellness. So let's get this party started and taco boat wellness. Welcome back to the Taco Boat Wellness Podcast. Today, I have a special guest back in the recording studio, which is my office with me, Jennifer LaPlante. Do you want to say hi?
Hi. Good morning, everyone. I'm Jen. I'm the physical therapist here over at the Waukesha Wellness Center. I have been here for 4 years. Yeah. 4 years. And so I'm just here today to talk about ways to prevent injuries during the winter.
Yes. And I am personally excited. Some of these questions were like really my own personal questions.
Yeah.
And this is a topic that has been requested too by some people. So hopefully it'll be a really good resource. And I don't think I said it. This is episode number 45 for anyone who cares. Okay, hold up. Before we go any further, we do want to give a quick disclaimer that this podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute providing medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your doctor or other qualified health provider regarding a medical condition, especially keeping in mind that we're speaking in general terms and each individual is different. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something stated on this podcast. Neither Everside Health nor its employees nor any contributor to this podcast makes any representations expressed or implied with respect to the information provided herein or to its use. So why don't we start off with maybe of like, what do you see? What is the most common holiday or winter season injury that you see people come in for?
I mean, aside from the like traumatic ones, you know, falling on the ice, sledding injuries,
yes.
With broken bones and things like mm-hmm. that. Probably back pain. I mean, that's just like a general, I think, all year round.
Yeah.
But we do see some increases for lots of different reasons that I'll kind of hit on a little bit later. But and then actually elbow pain is a pretty big one, too, because of shoveling.
Yeah.
Or if we get icy days and people are having to scrape a lot or, you know, really hit the driveways where ice is maybe stuck. We actually see a lot of like what you would call, quote unquote, tennis elbow, where you get some tendonitis in the elbow. So I would say those are probably the two biggest that I address.
Ice pick elbow mm-hmm. in the winter.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And I guess what about then, I mean, I was thinking with both of those, like now is kind of the season where people are starting to put up their holiday decorations, right? And if you think of like some of that's really awkward positioning for the body, especially for those who don't know, I am a very short, petite woman. Mm-hmm. And so you know, it's a lot of like standing on your tippy toes and reaching weird positions.
Yeah.
Any tips with that sort of thing in mind?
Yeah. I mean, I think just like with anything, just in normal life, my recommendation to everybody is always you want to get as close to whatever you're doing as possible,
okay.
right? So if you are shorter, find a stool yeah. or a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of reaching over to grab something, you want to move whatever you're standing on, right?
Sure.
I think that becomes a big issue because not only is it reaching high and you're straining your shoulders or your neck, right? Because mm-hmm. you're looking up.
Yeah.
If you reach too far over the side, you're twisting and that gets into your back. It's kind of like raking leaves too, right? Like in the fall, mm-hmm. like you reach too far with the rake and you're twisting through the back. And then I see a lot of people coming with back pain because of that. So no matter what you're doing, I think the biggest thing is getting to the level of where you want to be
okay.
versus trying to, you know, save time and
sure, yeah.
reach for things.
Laziness.
Right.
Going to get the thing.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
So then that brings me, I guess, to maybe thinking about like the raking, or like in winter, you know, the shoveling and the mm-hmm. ice picking. Mm-hmm. How can we avoid that like back pain? Is okay. there a top secret?
I don't know if it's top secret. I mean, I think there's a lot of things. I think one, the correct shovel, like mm-hmm. I think that makes a big difference, mm-hmm. right? So making sure they make all these fancy shovels nowadays,
yes.
right?
What do you recommend?
They have the ergonomic ones that okay. kind of have their longer one, and then they have kind of like that curved like handle.
Okay.
I would say those are probably the best.
Sure.
You know, again, some of this comes down to either being lazy because that's all you have, or mm-hmm. It's a cost thing too, right? Because those shovels cost more money.
Yeah.
But you also, we live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, right.
So unfortunately,
it's a good investment.
We're yeah. going to be shoveling a lot of snow.
Yeah.
So if you have to shovel, I would definitely say to get one of those.
Okay.
The other thing too, if you're using a shovel, some people try to keep their hands like up at the top too close together.
Oh.
If you can kind of spread them out a little bit, it sure. gives you a little bit more of a push
yeah.
That you can use behind you to push the snow. So those just from a shovel standpoint. When you go to actually shovel, the biggest things are engage your core. So, when you're getting ready to go push the snow, mm-hmm. you want to think about bracing your abs,
right.
kind of pulling that belly button towards your spine, just to give you a good core base. And then before you go to lift, you want to do the exact same thing, right?
Okay.
So, you also, when you're going, I always say for anything, when you're going to do the working portion of the activity. So whether it's the push or it's the kind of squat and lift, you want to exhale mm-hmm. on that portion, because that keeps your core engaged and prevents extra pressure into your intra-abdominal cavity, which can hurt your back. So it is, you may have to slow it down a little bit, right? But it is, that is going to save your back tremendously. The other thing too, when you go to actually lift the snow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get as close to wherever you're going to put the pile as you can. You don't want to
okay.
be like flinging it,
yeah.
right? Because that's, as soon as you put weight away from your body, that increases strain on your back and your shoulders.
Okay.
So you want to get as close as you can. And then don't forget to use your legs, right? A lot of us kind of just bend and lift and twist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people, again, injure themselves, especially with that heavy snow. That
sure.
becomes a big issue. So it's kind of get a good base of support, bend those knees a little bit, engage your core, exhale and lift and kind of toss it onto the pile.
Okay. So really viewing it like a workout and
mm-hmm.
slowing down and being mindful. Well, and I'm guessing too, just from what I know about like mindfulness and how the brain works, that the more you practice that, then the easier it'll get. So then it doesn't have to be so like slow and thoughtful. You'll start to engage those muscles.
Right. Yeah. You'll get some muscle memory, right?
Yeah.
Your body will start to right. remember how it's supposed to work.
But I would say still a good reminder for everyone the first time we shovel,
mm-hmm.
right? Kind of like the first day that you have to drive with snow and ice. It's like I really do have to slow down a lot more before I stop. And probably same for shoveling. Like, I really have to focus on engaging those muscles
mm-hmm.
and I can't just rush through it because I need to remind my body how to properly do this.
Right. Right. And the more, I mean, just like with anything, right? The more often you do it, the more your body just responds correctly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and then obviously if you have a snowblower, you
sure.
know, that's easier, but you still want to kind of keep core engagement,
right.
When you're doing that, especially when you're doing turns
oh,
with
yeah.
it, because it can be kind of a twisty motion. So if you engage your core through that, it usually helps save the back a little bit too.
That makes sense.
So,
now I know we're in winter season, but, just because you touched on it a tad, how do you recommend, like walk us through how to properly engage your body mechanics when you're raking leaves?
Okay.
Little bonus.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of the same concept, right?
Sure.
So, I always tell people the other thing too, and I should have touched on this with the shoveling, but squaring your hips up to whatever you're going to be doing. So
oh.
that's a big thing, because with raking, a lot of times what we do is we kind of reach and we twist and we turn and
yeah,
we pull,
side,
right?
right?
And we do it from the side. So if you can kind of, you're not going to be totally square on, but usually I'll have people kind of stagger their feet
oh, sure.
and then their hips can kind of go towards the rake and then you kind of pull towards you that way.
Okay.
The same rules apply with the core engagement and the breathing piece. So breathing becomes a really big thing and it's something we don't think about on a regular basis, right?
Right. Yeah.
But if you can practice it during small movements. You'll start to do it during big movements. But same thing, when you go to pull the leaves, you're engaging the core, and you can exhale as you do that.
Yeah.
So the general kind of just the pearl of lifting or twisting motions or raking, any of that, is the exhale is on the working portion of whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good reminder. Mm-hmm. And so I guess it would, I'm just assuming it'd be very similar for, like, if you are trying to clean off the ice, you're engaging the core and the glutes, and you're spreading your hands out, and you're exhaling as you push with that ice. Oh man, all this, we're not really in that stage yet, and this is giving me a little bit of, like, oh no.
I know.
I don't want that coming too soon.
I know.
So what about then, because this is definitely coming, if you're someone who has a taller vehicle, right, like a van or a truck or SUV, but you yourself are not very tall. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you are, sometimes they're still really big. How, like, what kind of tips do you have for cleaning off those windshield wipers? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, I struggle with that too, only because I am shorter as well.
If you're gonna say keep a step stool in your car, I am gonna get really...
No, I will. That's a lot, and plus if there's ice or something, you don't want to slip on that. So again, they make the extendable brushes, right? So that saves a lot of people. I think that's number one, the extended brushes or extended scrapers. That's going to make a big difference for people who have tall vehicles or are shorter, right? So that is definitely one. Two, trying to do smaller sections at a time. You know, I'm one because I want to get out of the cold, right? I try to, like, reach as far across as I can and scrape off as much as I can in one kind of push.
Right.
Again, I don't always practice what I preach, but should do, like, just kind of just small little brush strokes at a time.
That would be better.
And then the other thing you could do if you're really, really short and you have a very tall vehicle, I have done it before where I've opened my driver's side and I kind of step on the runner board or step on the inside of the door there. And then you can kind of reach and it brings you up a little bit.
It's like a built-in step stool.
It is a built-in step stool. So you could do that as well. Just to, you know, to give you a little boost. But the brushing is definitely a little bit more difficult than the shoveling because of the nature of our vehicles are bigger.
Right. Yeah.
And so, but anything, again, similar to when we're talking about hanging holiday decor, the closer you can get to everything, the better off your body is going to be. So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, that'll save me this winter. What about then, if we think about being active in the winter, you know, especially for those who maybe they like winter running or snowshoeing or winter hikes or skiing, cross country skiing, I guess maybe speaking, I suppose not so much to the, like, avid athlete, they probably already know, but for the average Joe, that's like their wife is making them go on a winter hike or they want to start snowshoeing or something.
Yeah.
What kind of tips, safety cues you have for that?
So biggest thing, I mean, one, winter is tough because it's cold out, right?
Yeah.
And yes, you're going to get warm when you go and do an activity, but some sort of warm up is always a good idea. Whether it's, I'm just going to walk some laps around the house, or before we go on our hike, I'm going to walk the parking lot, wherever we're at. Something to just get blood moving, right? So that you're warm to begin with. So that's a big one. Some sort of dynamic stretching, not necessarily for hiking. You could do it for hiking, depending on how strenuous the hike is going to be, but snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, downhill skiing, any of that kind of stuff, some sort of dynamic type warm-up will be good. And by dynamic, it's super basic. You can do arm swings, you can do leg swings, you can do some little mini air squats, you can do some, like, kind of trunk rotations, and that kind of gets you moving, but it loosens up the joints that you're going to be using, right?
That makes sense.
And therefore, you'll be warm, you'll be loosened up, you'll be ready to go. This should not take more than 5 to 10 minutes, right? Okay. I'm not expecting that you're going to do a half hour warm up before you go and do your activity. So a proper warm up, especially in the winter, because we are colder, makes a big, big difference from preventing, like, falls, things like that. If it's snowy, icy, you can grab they make, I mean, Amazon sells them, right? The little traction cleats that you can put on your shoes.
Right.
They're fairly easy to flip over or leave them on your hiking shoes or on the shoes that you're going to walk with. They've saved a bunch of people from, they just give you that extra traction, especially on the ice for sure. But if you're going out hiking, right, you're going to have slippery rocks, you're going to have logs, things like that, that you might step on.
Right.
It just creates that extra bit of traction so that falls become less prominent. You just feel safer too. That's another big thing in the winter. I find people have fallen on the ice before, or they're afraid of falling on the ice. So they become almost overly cautious.
Right.
And sometimes that can lead to issues, right? Where they're looking down, or they're changing the way that they're walking.
Sure.
And then they're more apt to slip or do or miss a different type of obstacle in their way or something like that. So if you have these little traction cleats on, people just have a little bit more confidence with that. So I do recommend those. We gave them to my dad probably 5 years ago because he walks every single morning.
Sure.
And he loves them.
Oh,
he just leaves them on his hiking shoes and there you go.
I want to get some.
They're really, I mean, great. And like I said, Amazon.
Like walk the dog
super,
in the morning.
Yeah.
It'd be much better.
Right.
Safer.
It's just safer. Mm-hmm. And then just if you're not going to wear those and you're an avid hiker or an avid runner, good shoes, right?
Sure.
Like for running in winter, we tend to tell people go into more of like a trail type shoe because it has a little bit more traction and grip. And then your hiking boots, right? Make sure that they're good. If you've had the same hiking shoes or running shoes for the last 3 or 4 years, you may want to upgrade to something that has a little bit more traction. Again, just to make things safer. Obviously running, if we have just gotten ice or something, maybe not the best idea. Fresh snow, things like that are okay. But ice always presents the biggest issue, right? And just be aware of your surroundings. You know, the number of people who have slipped and fallen on black ice or ice that's under snow. It's just make sure, again, you have good shoe wear. And usually people do fairly well with that.
That makes sense. Okay, awesome. Any other tips that you wanted to share for preventing injury this time of year?
I think the biggest thing, as I was kind of thinking about what we were going to talk about, is especially in cold climates like Wisconsin, we tend to, our activity changes in the winter, right?
Yes.
A lot of people aren't as active in the winter.
Right.
And then not even just through winter, but then as we head into spring, right? People have been a little bit more sedentary through the winter and then spring issues pop up with yard cleanup, gardening, those sorts of things. So exactly. So I think my biggest tip is stay active, even if it's just stretching, right?
Yes.
Winter's a great time for mobility work, which then will help you with your shoveling and with your winter activities if you go and do them. Keeping your body just moving. And again, as we kind of touched on with winter activities, because it is colder, you need that extra time for your body to warm up when you're going to go and do stuff. So give yourself that extra time so that you don't have an injury. But I think, again, moving through the winter, I do find so many people, they're sedentary and then we get a big snowfall. They have to go shovel. And then that's when something happens with their back, right? Keeping, again, mobility stuff. I'm huge on mobility. Mobility stuff and strength combined is going to just prevent so many of these injuries. And then we'll prevent injuries going into the spring. One other little just kind of tip is, don't forget in the winter, because I am guilty of this, like to stay hydrated too,
right?
Because you're not sweating like you are in the summer. But if you're going to go out hiking or if you're going to go out cross country skiing, don't forget that even though you're colder, you're still sweating a lot, right? And you're losing a lot of that. And then that lack of hydration leads to tissue breakdown and all of those sorts of things. And that in itself can also lead to further injury. So, so make sure you're doing that too. But just keep moving, and plus it keeps you warm.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It does keep you warm.
Right. So, and if you're not one to want to go out and go to the gym, in the winter, cause it's cold or whatever, you can do great things at home. Again, use the winter months to work on your flexibility, work on your hip mobility, your shoulder mobility. And I think that will just save people in general. And if you don't know how to do that, you can always schedule an appointment. We can do just a consultation to say, okay, what will be good for me going into winter? Or can you develop a just basic stretching kind of program for me? We don't have to meet more than one time. We can put that together and then you can be on your way.
Awesome.
But it will give you something you can do through these winter months, because we know in Wisconsin that can last a long time.
Yes, right. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Well, I'm guessing too, if someone, they get out for that first shovel and they're like, I feel the back pain. Like, I'm not really, you know, struggling to understand visually how you're talking about engaging. I'm guessing they could come in too and meet with you and you could kind of go through some of that stuff.
Yep.
Do you have a shovel in your PT?
I don't, but that's a good idea. I should bring one actually. Just to check their form, right?
The rake.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
for sure. I would say, and most people, you know, when it comes to these injuries, a lot of times it's just like a soft tissue muscular issue.
Sure.
And once you learn how to do the proper things, most people don't have an issue going forward. So if you do kind of tweak your back or do something, then schedule an appointment.
Yeah,
we can work through those things and then hopefully just keep off any other further injuries.
I wonder if, and this is maybe a really general question, but is it normal to have some, I'm guessing like fatigue after shoveling is normal, but the pain is not?
Correct. Right? Yes. I mean, and because we're going from a, you know, a summer activities to a totally different activity,
right, like
with
suddenly
shoveling.
You're lifting in a different way.
Right. And shoveling is different than raking because of the weight piece of it, right? Especially when we get heavier snows. So there is expected, it's very rare that people don't have a little bit of soreness, right? But there's a difference between some muscle tightness and soreness and pain. And so knowing the difference between those two things, I think is helpful. But yeah, you're going to be fatigued, especially if you have a longer driveway or things like that.
Right.
That is to be expected, right? And the more often you do it through the winter, you'll have less and less of that. Those first few times, it's kind of like you haven't worked out in a while and you go to the gym and you have an issue going up and downstairs because your legs hurt, right? It's that same kind of just muscle soreness. But yeah, it's the things where, okay, after a day or two, maybe it doesn't go away. Or maybe you have some radiating pain that isn't normal. Those things we don't want, right? But just general kind of fatigue and soreness, that's pretty common, after doing these types of activities. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to kind of summarize for everyone, exhale on the work, make sure you're breathing and not holding your breath, engage your core, stay close to what you're doing so you're not like extending way far out, that increases your risk of injury. Warm up the body before you do these activities outside, especially. And use the winter to tap into some strength, mobility. Oh, I really like, this is now a personal thing, but maybe it'll inspire people. Like, once I get the Christmas lights up, then, you know, like exercising in the morning or evening is, it's really hard when it's dark out all the time. But if I make that just like a really nice space, roll out my mat near the Christmas light, and I can just focus on, if I'm feeling like I just need something more relaxing, then I just do some yoga or stretches. And if I'm feeling like I need something strong, then I'll do like Pilates or, you know, doing like the squats and pushups and stuff. And it feels a lot more like indulgent and peaceful and enjoyable when you're in this like kind of dim room with the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
That's a really nice.
It is nice.
That's my space.
Yes. Yeah. And you kind of just touched on it. I mean, this time change and darkness setting in earlier, our motivation is a lot different, right? In the winter. And I think that leads people to not be as active in the winter too, right?
They do the all or nothing.
Yeah.
They just say, well, I'm not doing anything. But
right.
You're right. If you just like take, maybe you're not doing a 30-minute workout or 60-minute workout at the gym, but if you at least can do 15 minutes on a mat, stretching, strengthening a day, like that's better than nothing.
Right. And it can be super basic stuff, right? It's just to keep our bodies in check through these winter months, because again, if it gets cold out, a lot of people aren't wanting to go outside and walk and do those sorts of things.
Right.
So it's a way to keep your body just still moving.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Great. Awesome.
If you guys have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for coming and sharing these tips. I mean, you see a lot of people. Hopefully this will help to reduce or bring in people in a positive, more preventative way as opposed to after the fact.
Right.
Thing.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm so glad we got to talk about wellness today. And I'm especially thankful for you, our audience. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions from this episode, please feel free to shoot me an email. For our Waukesha Everside members, if you would like to chat about how the concepts you heard in this episode can fit into your own personal taco of life, call to schedule a coaching appointment. If you really love this episode, be sure to give us 5 stars and share it with a friend. Everyone can find us on Facebook and YouTube at Waukesha Employee Health and Wellness. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from so you never miss an episode. See you on the first Tuesday of every month for Taco Tuesday. Until then, bye!